Want to advertise your brand, business, or product to university students? Advertise with Imprint, the University of Waterloo's official student newspaper. Imprint distributes to more than 85 locations within Waterloo, Kitchener, Cambridge, and Stratford, with a readership of 30,000 plus that includes students, faculty, and staff. Your printed newspaper ad will be enhanced by Imprint's social media technology platforms, which will integrate your advertisement with multiple online channels, including Facebook, Twitter, Bing, Yahoo, and their website, uwimprint.ca. To learn more about publishing prices, dates, discounts, and latest offers, contact Imprint at 519-888-4048 or email at ads@uwimprint.ca.
Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire was produced on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit. In this episode...
Social movements are at risk, LGBT people, black people are going to suffer a lot. There will be a great deal of repression. Bolsonaro said that he will give a green light for the police to kill.
In it, he said children and teens across the province will be at significantly higher risk of abuse and mistreatment because of your reckless and ill-informed decision to abolish the child advocate.
Berta Cáceres was an indigenous Lenca leader from Honduras. The Lenca people had been struggling for many years to stop the construction of a hydroelectric project in their territory.
But first, here are the headlines. Our first headline comes from Michael Welch at CKUW in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
The Venezuela Peace Committee, a Winnipeg-based group focused on the situation in Venezuela, is expressing concern about the Canadian government's approach to handling the crisis in the South American country. One of its members, Alan Freeman, had initiated a petition in late November of 2017 calling for Canadian sanctions against the Venezuelan government to be lifted. The Canadian government's official response, tabled by Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland, spoke of the sanctions as targeting individuals responsible for or complicit in the deterioration of democracy, violations of human rights, and acts of corruption. Freeman finds the government's position problematic in that it has taken provocative actions against Venezuela based on what it calls reasonable grounds, but has yet to release the evidence to Canadians or to the accused. Freeman also notes that the sanctions constitute collective punishment of the Venezuelan people being enacted as part and parcel of a U.S.-backed regime change agenda.
Doesn't mean there's no problems in the country. The issue is whether regime change makes things better. It doesn't. What regime change in agenda in Venezuela would mean is there would be a civil war in Latin America.
The Venezuelan Peace Committee will provide a more comprehensive response to the government's Venezuela statement at the site nosanctions.org. From Winnipeg on occupied Anishinaabe Gakin, the homeland of the Métis Nation and the historical territory of the Nahiowak and the Nakota, this is CKUW's Michael Welch for Groundwire.
Our next headline comes from Catherine Fisher at CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia.
The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives has released a new report indicating that Ontario's labour market continues to show stubborn patterns of employment and income inequality along racial and gendered lenses. Called Persistent Inequality, Ontario's Colour-Coded Labour Market, the report presents a portrait of the province's racialized labour market as of 2016 as compared to similar data from 2006. The study finds that racialized workers in Ontario continue to experience higher unemployment rates and significant wage gaps compared to non-racialized workers. The report states that there were 3.9 million racialized individuals living in Ontario in 2016, representing 29% of Ontario's population, a notable increase from 23% of the population in 2006. Provincial unemployment rates for non-racialized men and women in Ontario are 7% and 6.3%, respectively. Unemployment rates were found to be considerably higher for racialized women, 10%, and racialized men, 8.7%. Racialized women were most likely to be in the lowest-paying occupations. The share of racialized women, 25.1%, working in occupations that fall in the bottom 10% of average earnings, was 66% higher than the share of non-racialized men, 15%. Labor market discrimination remains gendered and racialized. Racialized women earn 58 cents for every dollar non-racialized men earned. The report concludes that addressing the labor market discrimination faced by racialized workers will require a deeper understanding of racism and the different ways it is manifested in the labor market for different racialized groups. This then needs to be used to shape policy. The report, authored by Sheila Block and Grace Edward Galabuzzi, can be found on the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives website at policyalternatives.ca.
You're listening to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up, available online at groundwirenews.ca and airing on your community radio station. Now it's time for our feature stories. Our first feature comes from Greg McDougall in Ottawa, Ontario, where community members are standing in solidarity with Brazilian and Guatemalan activists.
Considerable attention has been directed toward Latin America in the wake of the election of a fascist leader in Brazil and a migrant caravan fleeing harsh conditions in the Central American countries of Honduras and Guatemala. In the first half of November, community members in Ottawa had an opportunity to hear from speakers from the region soliciting assistance from Canadians in their freedom struggles. The first event was held on November 1st, only 4 days after Jair Bolsonaro's election to the Brazilian presidency. Hosted by InterParis and the Blue Planet Project of the Council of Canadians, the Ottawa event featured Maria Lucia Mendonca, a Brazilian human rights lawyer and executive director of the Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, and Max Garquez, an Ottawa-based labor lawyer. Greg McDougall of EquitableEducation.ca attended this event and got to hear the speakers break down the significant challenges facing Brazilians.
We are at risk. Social movements are at risk. LGBT people, black people are going to suffer a lot. There will be a great deal of repression. Bolsonaro said that he will give a green light for the police to kill. So already we have seen attacks, people are being attacked on the streets. So I would like to, you know, to just focus on that and what we can do. And I think that what you both offer is very important.
I would believe that 20% of the Brazilian population voted because he is homophobic, because he is racist, because he is misogynistic. We have had in the last few weeks a number of deaths caused by his supporters, just killing Workers' Party supporters on the streets, three deaths, and dozens and dozens of physical aggressions. So people now feel empowered to attack people, to attack women, to attack people of Afro ancestry, and the attack on labor rights most likely is going to be dramatic. He has talked about just shutting down the labor justice in Brazil altogether. And it's dramatic how workers and blue-collar workers who worked